Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Living Astrology with Janet Hickox. Grab your cup of coffee or your tea, sit back and relax, and let's chat about what is happening up in the sky above us. I hope you all had a great evening and a great day yesterday. It turned out to be a little irritating at times, but not terribly irritating, which was really a good surprise for me. I know sometimes when we have those minor tension sort of filled transits, it can bring up unexpected things, conflicts and things that we have to confront. But yesterday, it wasn't me that was having to do that. It was me helping other people get through it. So in a way, that's almost the same, right? You can almost pick up on other people's tensions, but you don't have to. And that's how it was for me yesterday, where it wasn't necessarily me in the anxiety tension-filled space, but my ability to help others through it. So I see a lot of people checking in early with us this morning. Mimi, good morning. And Allison and Suzanne Fulmer, hello. Susan Glavin, hello to you. Allison, good morning. And Mimi says, good morning, Debbie, Marjorie, Rebecca, and a good morning to all of you. Today, early in the morning, our moon moved out of Pisces and into Aries, and so I'm wearing red in celebration of new, fresh, action-oriented energy, maybe energy that'll move us forward in some way. It is a very stormy day here, and wind blowing and pouring rain, so it sort of is that cleaning wash up of the energy that maybe allows us to take a new fresh start. I like days like that. I like that I feel sort of optimistic, but also not so much maybe, there's optimism there, but it feels more like a path is opening up, right? That there's something moving that is going to allow some forward momentum. You know, and part of that is not getting caught up in the world and all of the weird stuff that's happening out there. But also, you know, having a plan and working your plan, that's been what has been, we've been being taught all along, right? In this Capricorn energy. And now I'm going to show you the chart because I noticed this morning. And even though I knew this was happening, it sometimes helps to be able to visualize. Here's our Capricorn energy. And we still have a lot going on there, right? We still have let's see, we have Pallas Athena, the South Node, Jupiter, Pluto, Saturn, Chiriclo, and Ceres, who is today at the 29th degree of Capricorn. And then we have another new sort of grouping starting up, and it is an interesting grouping because it's made up of the goddesses mostly, with the planet, with the black moon Lilith, the moon today, Chiron, and then Salacia and Eris also in there, but in later degrees. We really haven't talked too much about those two, but we spent some time the other day talking about the black moon Lilith, and today the moon will conjunct her and also Chiron. So today's moon contacts are mostly with the feminine energies. There is the exception of Chiron, and which he is the more masculine healing healer in the pantheon. His wife, Chiriclo, is the last body that I spoke of that was in Capricorn. So we have some healing energy available today. We have the goddess energy available today, taking a look at our shadows, taking a look at where we draw sustenance and our abundance from, as well as where do we claim our freedom. So that's what the moon in Aries is sort of bringing us today. Now, if we look at Aries energy in general, what we see is this is an energy of new beginnings, of fresh starts. It is the zero Aries starting point of the astrological year. That's where the moon is sitting here today. The sun, when it moves to that 0 degrees Aries, we call it the spring equinox, and it begins the whole round of the astrological year. So our new year astrologically starts at zero Aries. Today, the moon is sitting in that territory, bringing us more of an emotional connection to beginning something, creating a pathway to listening deeper to our soul energy. And where is the soul moving us to start something new? And in no small way, Aries energy taps us into the courage to take action, right? Sometimes the actions that we have to take are scary, are new to the point, it's untried, and we have to actually carry with us some form of courage to be able to do that. It's like what I say to people when they hear their human design for the first time, and they realize that almost all their lives they knew, they just knew that this was the way they were supposed to live out their lives, but they've been conditioned by their culture or society, their family, just the general energy of productivity on the planet, to behave in ways that aren't true to them. And so it takes courage to realign ourselves with what we know to be true for us personally, and draw yourself out of that field of the culture or the conditioning of the culture. So we have that today, and we can build momentum then toward our goals, toward our dreams. And you're going to see there's, again, this coherence moving through the day between all of the different systems that we look at, that I always find that so amazing. And yet here it is again today, a coherence between the Pleiadian Earth energy calendar and also our Aries moon, showing us that we're building momentum. And in that, we may have also energy bursts where you know, get a lot done, and then maybe you rest. And then you get a lot done, and then you rest, like the animal world would show us that same kind of energy. And in your human design, that is also the energy that you are meant to follow, is the pulsing of the energy. And the pulse sometimes is on and it's open, and then it pulses off, and you're meant to integrate or rest and relax, and it pulses back on and you're moving again. So we see today that we might be able to really align ourselves with that kind of energy. And this is also a sign of taking independent action. We talked about that yesterday with interdependence, codependence, and independence in the sun at the gate 19 of sensitivity, being able to feel into the grid that aligns around you to tap into where it is that you belong and what energy you are meant to carry forward here. Aries is a sign of beingness. I often think of Aries as doing, but it is also the beingness, just being innocent. If you've ever looked at the tarot card of the Fool, there's sort of an innocence in that, right? That setting out on the journey, knapsack on my back, and I'm just taking every step forward. I'm not really noticing I might fall off a cliff. And how many cliffs do we all fall off of throughout our lives? Not literal cliffs, but metaphorical cliffs do we fall off? How many little deaths do we experience every day and every week and every month of our lives, right? So it's about the being in that innocence to start over when something new is presented, or when you're presented with an ending. So having that courage again to step forward, even in the face of those changes, being responsible for yourself, being responsible for your actions, for your creations, and trying the new idea of being in response as opposed to being reactive. Aries energy in its youthful exuberance can often be very reactive, but we're learning now that reaction causes more problems than being in response does. So in this, we're gathering our personal authority around us, and we're really claiming who we are and what we want to do and where we want to go and who we want to do that with. And today we have the bravery to be able to go forward with that. Aries energy is also about the fighter, right? There's a fighter in all of you. You all have Aries somewhere in your chart. So you have your charts now. Hopefully you've got you took me up on that offer if your free astrology of 2020 calendars. So you've got your calendar, you've got your chart, you know where Aries is. The house that Aries is sitting in is where you can expect the surge of energy to move through. And that is where you might have to risk some, you might have to kind of partake in risk-taking. You can't, you know, all of our lives, we can't sit in the fear and not take action. So Aries energy stimulates our ability to take the acceptable risk, or to take the calculated risk, and not necessarily the safe road, but the road less traveled, perhaps, is another way we could look at this energy in Aries. Not backing down from the fight or from a confrontation. Now, I'm not speaking about this in terms of anger or upset. I'm thinking about obstacles that we're presented with in a daily basis, our own minds and the obstacles that our minds present to us. I woke up at 2:27 this morning, and at 3:50, I was still awake, and all I had been doing is running this bullshit story in my head over and over and over again. And I finally just wore myself out thinking about this. And I'm thinking that about that time, the moon would have been about 29 degrees of Pisces. And maybe in my unconsciousness there, I was just kind of dispelling the last of that victim energy in preparation for this Aries energy of being able to not back down, right? To keep going. That building of that momentum, it gives us the courage and the stamina and the endurance to persevere through whatever it is. Especially if you know deep within you that you're on the right path and that you're doing the right thing. So staying the course and not backing down just because you're presented with some kind of obstacles or something comes up in your way. But we do have to watch out for a few things. And of course, other people are more unconscious than you all are about what's going on in the world. So we have to watch for an aggressive or an overly assertive attitude. You know, sometimes this energy can get rolling and it's like a stone or a boulder rolling downhill. It's picking up momentum as it goes. And that means that sometimes if a person enters into your field or you enter into someone else's field, that they can become confrontational. You might even become confrontational, as it appears they may try to stop you from doing something, or they might begin a process of agitation. I call it pot stirring, you know, where they just like try to stir up your fears or they stir up your anxieties around doing something new or taking that risk. So don't fall into that trap. Don't fall into the pot stirring. Don't be the pot stirrer. Unless, of course, you're doing this in a very highly enlightened way. You know, there is a gate in our human design called the gate of provocation. And provocation can be a positive experience if you are provoking with love and with an the reason for provocation would be to help someone realign with their higher spiritual gifts or their true or authentic self. And at the same time, you may be the one being provoked by someone who's helping you to align. But other times there are provocations that are really sort of mean-spirited, and this could take on the edge of a mean-spirited sort of energy today and tomorrow, really, as we look at Aries here on, it is going to be on Thursday and Friday, where is it really? Oh yeah, where this Aries energy, remember, is square to the planets Saturn and Pluto and Jupiter that are all in the sign of Capricorn. So the real agitation may come not today so much as it might be on Thursday and Friday in particular. So just be watchful and stay in your body, stay in your truth, and don't let anybody else bring you down. But also be listening to what people might be trying to tell you. If there's a word, if there's a grain of truth in it, then it might be something that you need to pay attention to. So there you have that. A quick hello to Marjorie. Good morning from Virginia. Nice to see you, Marjorie. Marissa, good morning. Dusa, nice to see you. Suzanne says, blessed morning. Crystal Berry, good morning. Monique, good morning. Angela, Angela. That post that you wrote this morning about your 6 weeks postpartum just got me. I remember those days, right? I remember those big transitions from pregnancy to birth and then to back to your old self and the recognition that things will never be the same. Hit me in the heart. Good. Soul searching on your part in that. It was beautiful. Jacqueline Lopez, good morning. Judy Wheeler, good morning. Camille, good morning. Asa, good morning. Crystal says hello. Janet and everyone. And Angela, the goddesses, yes. And Chiron, love that. Yes, I love all of how that coherency that just kind of blends everything together here. Deb Johnson, good morning. Mary, good morning. Kristen, good morning. Rebecca says, contemplating courage these days and wondering how you differentiate Aries versus Leo's courage. Now, isn't that interesting? So Aries, I believe, is really where true courage lies. I think Leo courage is much more about strength, right? The strength of the lion. Is the, when you think about Aries, the ram, the symbology of the sign, right? The symbol of the ram, those horns that push forward, right? They're forward. The it leads, they lead with their head, right? So there's this headstrongness about Aries energy. Leo isn't so headstrong as it's just the strength of the lion. It when you when I think about the lions out in the wild, it really isn't so much the male lion that is the scary one. It's the female lion, right? She's the real aggressor in the tribe. The masculine in this is the strength, and it is the strength of that lion energy that creates the fear of other animals through other animals and creates that idea that we have of courage. But it really isn't the same kind as the courage in Aries. Aries has the courage to start something new. I think Leo sometimes is a sign, it's a fixed sign, by the way, where Aries is cardinal. Cardinal is an initiating sign. Leo's a fixed sign. So it often gets to a point and then gets stuck there. And you could call that the strength of the base of the pillar, right? It would be the strength energy, the courage to stand your ground versus the courage in Aries to take off in a new direction, to do something new. So I hope that helps. So Leo, more the courage to stand your ground and to really call to you your heart, your passion, and your creative energy, where Aries says, okay, but I need to go out and do something new, and the courage to try that and to test new waters. So hopefully that helps you. Deb says, good morning to everybody. Linda Dennis, good morning. Linda Marie, good morning. Dusa says, Aries is in the eighth house, a transformation ahead. Well, it would seem to me that if Aries is on your eighth house, your life is one transformation after another. You are going through many deaths and rebirths in your life. And anytime a planet moves through Aries, and now you have Chiron in Aries for a while, that there is a lot of things that you may be transitioning through. And, you know, the energy of Aries in the eighth house, and of course, Scorpio energy, they remind me of the phoenix, right? Where the phoenix, you know, dies and then is rebirthed from the ashes. So that's what it makes me think of for you, Dusa, that this process of going through these changes. And Alisa, good morning. Colleen, good morning. Jacqueline says, OMG, yes, my daughter was like that this morning. Colleen says, good morning to everybody. Marissa, natal Aries rules my first house. I have realized I've been hiding, which means I am not displaying my natural talents, gifts, and skills. It's uncomfortable having attention on me for some reason. So I'm looking at that. Marissa, I don't remember. Is your son in the 12th house? Because if it is, that's where some of that invisibility energy is playing out. Yet when you have the first house aligned with Aries, everything in your life is a coming out party. Right, everything for you is about taking that risk and jumping out, bearing your soul, trying new things, testing the waters, and then retreating back, especially if that sun is in the 12th house, retreating back into your safe spot, then tipping your toe into the water again, and a process of doing that several different times. So it's probably a part of your, it's probably a safety check a bit in your life, helping you to not just be all about starting things new all the time. It helps you maybe moderate that energy a bit. So let me know where your son is. Jacqueline says mine is a little on the 10th and mostly on the 11th. We'll have to look it up. 10th house is career. 11th house is the house of the people that you are associated with, your friends, the networking that you do. It is also the place of your hopes, dreams, and wishes. So tipping into that one would be like having the courage to set forth out into the world to do the work that you want to do, to be the person you want to be, but then also to align yourself with the people that can help you get to where you want to be, and to be sort of the reflection of who you want to be. And you're welcome, Angela. Lisa Pedro, good morning. Diane Pegram, good morning. Allison says, I have a question. I'm weeks away from my Chiron return. However, my natal Chiron is at 5 degrees, but was in retrograde. What difference does it make, if any? Well, remember, Allison, that the planets that are out further, so Chiron, Uranus, Neptune, Pluto, Saturn even, they spend quite a bit of time every year in retrograde. So it's not an unusual thing to have a body like Chiron be retrograde when you were born, because he probably spends roughly 4 to 6 months in that retrograde state. Now, conventional wisdom around a birth with planets in retrograde kind of shows up as karma or things that we need to rework in some way. So it may be the result, your Chiron in retrograde may be the result of wounds not healed all the way or completely in previous lifetimes, or if we are, you know, given to the string theory, that are, you know, working concurrently, this lifetime has a specific facet of that Chiron that you need to be able to heal through. And so that's what any of those retrograde planets at birth would mean, right? A kind of a re of something not quite complete, something that as a soul you intended to experience more fully in this lifetime, or bring it to a conclusion in this lifetime, perhaps. It's not, in other words, a new issue cropping up for the first time in your soul's pantheon. And I know I've done your human design reading before, so maybe look to the gate that your Chiron is at, both gates. Sometimes they're at the same, because Chiron does move slowly. It might be that case for you. And see, you know, what gate the human design Chiron was at. It might give you some more insight into what it is that you're really healing, okay? Jacqueline, well, that's a great explanation for it. My daughter that was edgy today is a Leo. Ah, yes. Rebecca, thank you. Like in the tarot, the archetype of Leo is the strength. Yes, exactly. And you know, that was such a great question, Rebecca, because I think a lot of people attribute courage specifically to Leo. And Leo's courage, you know, it's almost mythic, because we think of Leo, the lion, it's the king of animals and the king of the jungle kind of thing. You know, our mythologies, our stories all show the lion to be that very, you know, face of courage. But it's a different kind of courage, I think, than Aries courage. Aries courage is youthful. It's innocent, right? It's the innocence. I'm going to go out and I'm going to try this. I don't know what's going to happen, right? The innocence that children have. Right? They go out and they try, they pretend, they play, they live life fully, right? They don't really question why it is they're trying something. They just do it. And then they deal with the outcome of it. And that's Aries courage, right? The courage of the child that goes out and does and tries and experiences. So there's that innocence piece there that I think is missing in Leo. So hopefully that helps. Debbie Hedden, love how the group is growing. I do too. It makes my heart sing to see that and to see, it really helps me to see how you guys all interact with one another as well in the community. Mimi, interesting and makes sense. I'm a Leo with an Aries rising. They support one another. Absolutely. Both fire signs. There's that fire element there that is the common denominator, if you will, between Aries, Leo, and Sagittarius. So they're all fiery, creative, a little bit impulsive, but their impulsiveness is a little different in each way, where Sagittarius is more of the impulse to adventure, Leo is the impulse to drama and to be the center of attention, and Aries is the impulse to get out and try something, to go out and do something. So we have that moving through that fire energy. It's also extraordinarily creative energy. Our fire energies are passionate. They're creative. So there's that too. Marissa, sun in the 11th house. Okay, so the 11th house isn't so much a house of invisibility, though. It might keep you from, you may struggle with the people that really would help you on your journey and expressing that Aries first house. So you may need to align yourself with different groups of people that fill that need for you in different ways. In other words, likely you have to go in search of people that are supportive of maybe the more metaphysical parts of yourself, or the parts of yourself that want to really take action and grow and move in a new direction, rather than the more traditional folks that you've been hanging around with. And I don't know, you know, how much you actually get out and socialize, but an 11th house sun is a fairly sociable sun. So you should have a lot of people out there in your world that you network with. And of course, that can be modified by your profile in your human design, especially if you have anything around the hermit that can put that as a conundrum in your life, right? Your natal sun in a house that wants social action and social interaction versus then maybe a hermit profile that likes to be alone and withdrawn. So we have conundrums in our lives that kind of create the resistance that creates the evolution, right? Without resistance, we don't have a change of state. Remember my physics lesson I always give you guys, that we have this resistance that's coming in at us, millions of years of evolution on the planet that creates the heat that then creates the change of state. So there you have that. I hope that helps, Marissa. Suzanne, Aries in the 12th house. Now, to me, that 12th house Aries can be very self-sabotaging, Suzanne, and that's because Aries is youthful and dynamic and impulsive. The 12th house is often acting on unconscious patterns and self-sabotaging behavior, and that's a maturing process. Maybe when you were younger, doing things that weren't so good for yourself or didn't support the you in the best and highest way. But as you get older, you begin to gain that wisdom about how maybe you've been hurting yourself rather than helping yourself, and you begin to pull yourself out of the resonance with that energy, right? You begin to really be your own best friend instead of your own worst enemy. So kind of working through that this lifetime. Amla, good morning, Amla. You're not going to believe this, Amla. And I know it's got to be you because I recognize your last name. The other day, I was moving through all of my people whose charts I've done, and I came across your name. And I remember, I think it's you that used to come to my radio shows when I was doing them on Thursdays in the afternoon. And I had your chart, and I went to I had to delete some charts because I ran out of space. And I went to delete yours and I went, nope, not going to do that. I'm sure she's going to show up in my world again someday. And here you are. That's too funny. I'm hoping it's you. So if that sounds familiar to you, let me know. She says, I have Aries in the first house and I have Mats in Aries. Maybe it's Mars in Aries. Sun is in Sagittarius. What does that mean? Well, Mars in Aries is very headstrong. And then you put Mars in Aries in your first house and you have double, triple headstrong. You have the energy of beginning new things. And it makes me wonder if in human design, you might be a manifester, right? Where you're an initiator, a creator, you jump out there and you start something, and then maybe that wanes and you don't take it to its completion. Or on the other hand, Mars here could also give you the endurance to stick with something new and to keep on that creative track. So both Sun in Sagittarius is also a fire sign. So that's a smooth flow of that energy between the first house. And then let's see, the Sun in Sagittarius would likely be probably in your, I'm going to say 10th house maybe. So maybe sticking with whatever it is you need to do to get in to the career of your choice or the profession. Maybe you've needed to go through a long study or a long-term sort of preparation for what you want to do in the world. So hopefully that's what that means for you as well. Debbie, my Aries is between the 8th and the 9th house. So at least early in the moon's transit through Aries, Debbie, you are dealing with the 8th house. So some kind of change or transformation that likely needs to be self-started. So there's different kinds of transformation, right? There's the kind that is shocking, that happens to you. And then there is also the kind that you initiate, that even though it may feel scary or make you ill at ease a bit, it is self-initiated. And so it's, you know, I started this, I need to finish this. So I want everybody to understand the difference between those two, because as time goes on here, and I meant to look this up, Venus and then Mars this year are both, and Mercury will do it too at some point, but maybe not until much later. They're going to be moving through the gate of shock, and Mars will be doing that retrograde cycle that he's in. So we're all being prepared for being shaken awake, right? I was really shocked myself yesterday to find out that there was a 7.7 earthquake in a place I wouldn't normally have expected it to be, although there had been a lot of earthquakes near Puerto Rico. This one was a 7.7 out in the Caribbean Sea between Jamaica and Puerto Rico or Cuba. And I mean, those kinds of things, you go, wow. And I live on a coast that's prone to earthquakes, and it makes you think, okay, am I prepared? So there are these things that shake you up. And then there are other things that you do to shake yourself up. So like for me, that shook me up. But since it didn't really happen to me, it gives me this opportunity then to think about, well, what do I need to do to be prepared, right? Just not out of fear, just out of caution and out of preparation and transforming what could be a very bad shock into something that I can at least live through and survive, you know, during that time. In your case, then, the later transits are going to move into the ninth house. So that transformation process then leads you to an expansion, right? A broadening of your horizons of such. So it almost feels to me then that the moon right now, as it's transiting through here, Chiron and Black Moon Lilith are in the early degrees, will be giving you that opportunity to make that change. And making that change or transforming will lead you then to growth and expansion. So there you have that. I have Mars in Aries. I figured that. Yes. Judy says, I have a question. Can you please tell me what is going on in my chart? I cannot find mine. you cannot find Aries in your chart, or you cannot find your chart. I can't help you find your chart, Judy, but I can tell you that Aries is a sign that looks like a V with little curls on the end. So right here, this is the symbol for Aries. So if you can find that symbol on the ring that's on the outer edge of your chart, you will be able to find Aries. And then just draw a line up to the center and it'll tell you what house that's in for you. I hope that helps, but I can't help you find your chart. Camille, Aries, natal moon, sixth house with Eris, first house, Neptune, Scorpio, Cancer, Sun. So you have a nice water fire mix going on there, girlfriend. Water and fire. Steam, steaminess, right? And remember this, steam is actually a force for motion. It, you know, moves things forward. It creates momentum. So you have some momentum building going on here. I wonder what it is that you might be working on in your life, especially in your work arena. The sixth house is the two houses affect the career and the profession. The 10th is more career profession, while the 6th is more the work environment, the people you work with, the work you actually do. So yours is sitting near the work that you actually do, the colleagues that you work with, the way that you share your gifts and your talents, and also the health of your body. So you've got some interesting combinations going on there. Allison, how do I find out where Chiron is in my human design? I don't have my chart at work. Let me think about this for a second. Allison, because you and I did some work together. Let me see if I have you in here. And I can tell you, I keep a book of all the people, well, of the most recent things that I've worked with people on, like Asa, your chart's in here. Tom, I have your chart in here. And Asa, oh, and there you are, because I have you under Alice. I don't have your Chiron there, but let me get it for you then. Since we've opened that door. So 14 December. So your Chiron is at the gate 17. The conscious line, so the black column would be at gate 17. And September 17th then was at 17. So you're dealing with the gate of opinions. You're dealing with the logical mind. So the wound for you is in the Ajna, right? The Ajna. And does that connect with anything? No. So it's a hanging gate. So it would seem like maybe at times Chiron might be bringing up some issues with you when you share your opinions, that you might have some very powerful opinions or some very strong opinions. And when you share those in what you think might be a safe way, it blows up at you. And so the thing to realize then with Chiron in that particular gate is that opinions are meant to be shared only with an invitation, so that people don't, you know, criticize you for it or judge you for your opinions. Yeah. So everybody has Chiron somewhere in their chart, and that it's, I don't want to get into where that is for everybody today, but Allison, I think it might really help you to tap into, you know, where, what are your issues around Chiron and sharing of opinions, and how does that affect you? How has it affected you in the past? And does it continue to affect you? Because now you're in the healing process of that. You know, you're at the cusp of that return, where the wounding part is over and you start to heal through that. Even though you've been healing through this process the whole time, it takes a characteristic after the Chiron return, where you feel maybe more comfortable in sharing your opinion, or you enter into those conversations more correctly. And so you don't get that blowback from people as much. But there's so much more to that 17th gate as well. I would also, if I were you, if you have the Gene Keys book, take a look at the Gene Key 17 and look at the depth that is in that particular gene key. Jacqueline, that's why I'm ready to take a day and get a personal reading. Definitely need to take the time to do that. Deb Johnson, Aries in the 10th house with Jupiter and Earth. My son is in the first house in Leo. Another fiery girl out there, right? Fire and moving forward, heart-centered moving forward. You may have suffered from confidence issues in your life, and I'm not sure how old you are, Deb, but there's a real headstrongness here for you to be able to move forward with your passion, although you may have been reticent to really do that or have had to build up the confidence and the self-worth to be able to express that out there in the world. Marissa, no hermit here, investigating martyr. Thank you. It does help. I do have to seek others out for metaphysical side of me. Yeah, you know, and then this is, you know, an issue I think that pops up with a lot of people, that Marissa, that people that are interested in metaphysics or astrology or divination or you name it, you know, the whole metaphysical, spiritual side of things, that it's, some people have a tough time opening up and expressing that, it, that because we have this inherent sort of memory of the times when we were persecuted for those kinds of beliefs. I mean, it's almost an innate fear within us that of times where there was the changeover from the pagan days to the Christian days, where people were persecuted for those kinds of beliefs, for these very metaphysical yet very spiritually divine gifts given to us, right? So I remember feeling the same way. Like, I will sometimes not mention to people what I do because I don't know how they feel. I don't want to have that worry that that's going to entertain some kind of conversation that's going to become confrontational between beliefs, right? So I keep quiet. And on other times, there are people around us that are just not as interested in those kind of topics as we are. So sometimes people, I've had people say, my husband doesn't support me in this, or he doesn't care, you know, he's not interested in it. My husband is sort of like that. I mean, he's always interested in everything I do. It's not that he's not interested in that, but he's not someone that I would sit down with and have a deep metaphysical discussion with. So that's why I have friends, or why I have metaphysical contacts with people. So, you know, people in your networks can help fill the space that maybe your closest family members can't fill, or your spouse can't fill, or maybe your children are too young to have that kind of conversation with. So we definitely can reach out to others to help, you know, support us in those things that others can't. It doesn't mean that your relationship isn't good. I mean, for goodness sake, you know, your spouse is supporting you, or your family supporting you. And if you can't have that conversation with them, or they don't support you in that way, then you fill that with friendships or with people in a group, or metaphysical bookstores or spiritual places. There are even centers, healing centers that sometimes have events and so forth that you could reach out to and hook up with or hook into groups of people that do metaphysical studies. And that would help you fill in that sun in the 11th house, Marissa. Camille, 12th house is empty. Oh, not so fast, right? There's a sign on the cusp of that 12th house, and it has a ruling planet. And so that ruling planet, wherever it is in your chart, has a connection, a byline, right, directly to that 12th house. So no house is ever empty. It may not have planets in it, but it certainly has a planet that rules it. So if we look here, for example, at this chart, we see that. Let's see here. What do we have that's empty? Let's look up here. We have an empty, that's Scorpio. Yes, it is. We have an empty, well, my eyes don't want to focus. Ninth house. We have an empty ninth house, but that ninth house has a cusp and it begins here in Libra, which means that the ruler of this house is going to be Venus. And Venus happens to be down here in Pisces. So we have a connection between the Venus in Pisces and the expression of that ninth house Libra, wanting beauty in how they expand. Actually, yeah, how they expand into the world, the places they might be art historians, or they're really interested in art or decor, or doing things that are aesthetically pleasing. Maybe they're artists, etc. So you cannot they grow through their connection to the arts, or in relationship with other people. That would be if we were reading this as a person. So even though you might have empty houses, there's still things that are going on, and then they get triggered when planets transit and affect it. Suzanne, good. Tara, good morning. Thanks for all your wise astral living knowledge. Took a small risk today. Let's hope it works out. And even if it doesn't, it was worth the risk, right? It was worth the risk because you show yourself that you have the courage to take action. And even if it doesn't work out the way you think, it works out exactly perfect. It always does. It's always perfect. And Amla, yes, it's you. I love it. Thank you so much for seeing my chart, saving your chart. That happens to me so often where I go through and somebody's name, I can be looking at a list of names and it's almost like somebody's more bold than another. And I'm like, oh, okay. And I pay attention. Most of the time I pay attention. So I should have known you were going to show up. And Jacqueline Lopez says, oh, shoot, a tower moment. I think you're thinking of the tower card. And those tower moments are, they're transformational. I'm actually, when I see a tower in a card reading, I'm more disturbed than I am when the death card shows up in a reading, because the tower can be so catastrophic sometimes, or so changed, right? It changes the landscape in such a big way that that's just my interpretation for myself. Michelle Siaka, good morning. Kathy Miller, hello. And Judy says, no chart to work with yet. All right, Judy. That can't be true, because didn't I send you an astrology of 2020 calendar and report? And if so, your natal astrology chart was with that. So you should have that. And if you don't, let me know and I will make sure I get that to you. Debbie, makes perfect sense, and I'm worried about some of it. I get you, Debbie. I get you. I get you, because I wake up in the middle of the night sometimes worried about stuff. And then I go, what am I? It's such a useless waste of energy. It's a useless waste of headspace, because all it does is take your energy and focus it on what it is that you're worried about. And then the universe sort of reads that code as, I want more of that because I'm so focused on it. Definitely, I want more money worries, or I want more worries about my grandkids, or I want more worries about what's going to happen next. And they give you more. So try it when things are having you worried. Just, what more is possible? What's possible here? How exciting could this be? I'm, looking forward to what might transpire here instead of going into the fear of it. I know it's hard in the moment, because I've struggled with that myself at times. Angela, Aries, fourth house for me with the North Node, Eris and Vesta in the third house, Aries. So your cusp is the third and the fourth house. So teaching and learning, and ooh, I wonder too, the fourth house, that's about home and family. it would seem to me that you're living life outside of the traditions perhaps that you grew up with, and daring almost to be your own person and live out your own high initiative in those places. And Camille, thank you for the steam analogy. You're very welcome. Judy, do you possibly have my chart that you can read? I don't have it at my fingertips here, Judy. Hold on. Let me see if I do. If I do. This will tell me whether you got a chart, because if it's in my astro program, then you did. And maybe it just didn't come through somehow. Wheeler, right? There you are, Judy Wheeler. I do have a chart for you. And that means if you've gotten your astrology of 2020 calendars and timeline, you have your chart. So I'm just opening that chart very quickly. I'll take a peek at where Aries is in your chart. It is up in the ninth house, along with Sedna, Eris, and Ceres. So you have a lot of goddesses in Aries in your chart, Judy. And in the ninth house is where you are meant to grow your perspective and to broaden your horizons. Maybe you've been thinking too narrow and seeing the world too narrowly, and you've got to expand that out. And the goddesses in there, one, Sedna is one that ties you sometimes to behaviors that are youthful, stuck in patterns of your childhood. And Eris, of course, is the goddess of discord. So she's like stirring the pot up there. And in the ninth house, sometimes I would guess that you get provoked into growing, or that other times you've provoked others into doing that same thing. So take that into consideration here, and take a look and see if you have your chart from that email I would have sent you. Crystal, Gail, good morning. And let's see, Jacqueline Tyler, hello to you. And I'm not going back to your chart. I still have some other energy to look at here for the day. And Jacqueline says, my kids listen a while, then they're like, Mom, I do not care. My kids listen only when they care. And that's funny. Like when there's something going upside down in their lives, or they're feeling discouraged or upset about something, then they listen, or then they call me for advice. And I have to just be at peace with that. It's not their job to be the astrologer, but at least they know who to go to when they need that advice. So that's how I look at that. It's like, okay, you guys can't all be so smitten with astrology that, you're going to just live and breathe on my every word. I would love that, but they don't. But they do know where to come when they need that kind of help. So anyway, I like that you've also had that experience. Camille, okay, I have two empties, 12th and two. So I should look at that house. So I should look at the house that would be the next house. So the 12th is really the first. No. Look at the sign that's on the cusp of that house. So let me show this again, because if you're confused, maybe others are as well. So when you have an empty house, so I'm just going to highlight this ninth house in this chart that we used. Right, here's this ninth house, this pie piece, right? And well, pink didn't show up so good, did it? So here is the beginning of that house, the ninth house. The ninth house is empty. So the beginning of the empty house is in Libra. And this is Libra right here, the symbol for Libra. And we know that Libra's ruler is Venus. So now I'm going to go looking through this chart until I find Venus in the natal. And the natal Venus is sitting right here in the second house, it looks like, and in Pisces. So there is a working relationship going on between Venus and Pisces and the ninth house Libra. And it might be that the pathway for broadening this person's horizons, if this were a person, is through the arts, through creativity, through the expression of seeing maybe even places that have an artistic background. Maybe some places in Italy where there's the museums and things like that. So you can read a lot into a chart by where the cusp is. So it sounds like if the 12th house is empty for you, go back. Here's where the 12th house would be. This is the 12th house in this chart. Go back to the starting where the 11th house transitions into the 12th. Look at the sign that's on that line. and then look to what the ruler is of that sign. It happens to be Taurus here. Taurus is also ruled by Venus. So this chart's 12th house would also be ruled by Pisces, the Pisces Venus. So secretly, this person might be an artist, right? Or they secretly want to be an artist, or maybe they're afraid to express their true artistic selves in the world. So interesting, just kind of fun to look at it like that. Debbie Hedden, oh my, just need to remind myself, I tell others that, but then don't follow my own advice. Isn't that the way? Angela says, 12th house is so interesting. We have a good amount of it in our house. New baby has 12th house sun and Jupiter, and her brother does. And other daughter has moon, Mars, and Saturn there. And I have Uranus there with Scorpio and Sagittarius. So, you know, a lot of astrologers think of the 12th house as being a house of the hidden, of self-undoing, self-sabotage, limitation. It's really a scary place. To me, the way I learned the 12th house was scarier than what the 8th house of death was about. And that's because it seems largely out of our control. Because a lot of the unconsciousness in that house comes from patterns that are deep in the subconscious. And then if you don't feel like you have access to being able to change that, then what's the point of being here on this planet at this time to work through this stuff, right? Isn't it kind of setting us up for failure? That was my original thought. And then I began really looking at that 12th house. And literally, if you look at it like this, it's a house where there is a lot of conditioning that has been piled up on top of you that covers up the true nature of who you are. And the 12th house can show you that. Now, you as a parent, Angela, are in a really good position to help your children to merge through that information in their lives and to be able to really shine their light instead of hide their light. But you also have to know that the 12th house child is going to also need some time to withdraw and to be secretive and to be alone. They're going to need that alone time. And in that alone time, they're recharging their batteries, if you will, and or integrating, and then they'll come back out. So you can act as the sort of the light beam that pulls them back, the light at the end of the tunnel kind of thing, right? That's really the 12th house is the uncovering of the true divine you. Right. One of the things that kept me up in the middle of the night is because I know too much about my own chart, and I kept visualizing my 12th house because I was born with the sun in my 12th house, sun and Mercury. And by progression, I have seven planets that have now progressed into my 12th house. And I kept looking at that going in the middle of the night. This is what was keeping me awake. I literally got myself imprisoned. And I kept thinking that you're imprisoned. And Venus is imprisoned. Mercury is imprisoned. The sun is imprisoned. Uranus is imprisoned. Your north node is in prison. Your Pluto's in prison. And I was like, oh my God, you've got to stop that, right? You have to stop looking at it that way. It's not that, it's becoming more focused. And it's more focused in bringing out the truth of what's been hidden. So there's always a way we can look at this that isn't as scary as what traditional astrology would make you think it is, right? I'm obviously not in prison, right? I'm really not in prison. And even though there are some things that I struggle with still, I can move through them. I have that freedom still. So even though by progression, all of that's crammed in there, and every time I look at it visually, I just want to cringe inside. It isn't a bad thing. I mean, obviously, I'm operating in the world. I have a lot of gifts to share. It's just being focused in. And I'm actually finding that what I'm doing is daring to broach subjects that I would not have normally gone through a process of talking about. So it can be very helpful. And especially when we're not afraid to reveal what's there. Marjorie says, haha, my son says, are you going to say it's because I'm a Pisces in water? Yes, maybe you are. So Judy says, wow, that really got her thinking. Rebecca, I have my sun, Saturn, and Mercury in the 12th, and I find it very challenging at times. You know, you have one more planet than I do, Saturn in the 12th. Saturn is already a very integrative, self-introspective sort of planet. And, you have that in a very introspective sort of house. So I would say you might have more times of deeper integration, deeper withdrawal that you need in order to get focused on what comes next. So it is difficult. I don't want to make light of the 12th house because it is a pretty heavy house, but it doesn't have to be. It's really where we've hidden our light. You remember that there's a line in the Bible or something about not hiding your light under a bushel. And that's what this is kind of the same thing about. You know, the 12th house sun is a bit hidden, and it's a process of uncovering it and then often going back like a turtle, right? A turtle who sticks his head out and, you know, goes forward and then retracts and comes back in. We're little turtles. We're turtles. And we all know how good turtles are, right? They always seem to be the heroes in the stories. Angela, yes, bringing out the truth through the 12th house. I agree with that. Yep. Colleen, only our minds put us in the prison, indeed. And then we worry about that prison. That's what I was doing last night. Debbie Hedden, it seems like you've been doing that too. So releasing ourselves from the prison, remember, we hold the key. We hold the key. Chiron is shaped like a key. And that key means we can put it in the lock, but we got to remember to turn the key in the lock. If we don't turn the key, we're still in the prison. Okay. Yes, I will do that, Marissa. And just let me know what specific things you're looking for in that. And no, you definitely you want to send me his information. I'll get you a chart. Okay. Now, last but not least, today in the Pleiadian Earth Energy Calendar, we are winding down the week. We have come to the 12th day, which is the day of understanding. And Earth energy today is seeing energy, which is eagle energy. And it's amazing because I love it on windy days because I can walk to my front door, and right outside my front door, up high, are the eagles. They soar. They catch those wind currents, and I just know they're there. If I wake up and I hear the wind, the first thing I'm going to go do as soon as it gets light is I'm going to go to my door and I'm going to look outside, and there they are. I counted 12 of them the other day, soaring on the currents of the wind. And that's the energy that we have today, is the seeing energy of men in Mayan calendar, which represented the eagle, right? That soaring to a higher perspective and seeing something better, seeing something bigger. And a better or a higher perspective, perhaps, of the world and of yourself as well, right? Now, the 12 an energy is about understanding and seeing that there's no difference between beginnings and endings. They lead like the Ouroboros one into the other, right? An ending is a beginning, and a beginning is literally a coming up out of an ending. So that this idea of death and transcendence is an ongoing process in our lives. And it's not the literally the death, the transition from life to spirit. It is many deaths all the time. Every day we're going through, all your cells are changing and dying every day, right? And literally every 7 years or so, there's a whole new you cellularly that is a death that you could consider that you've been through, even though you didn't literally lose your life. So remembering that, and being able to see multiple perspectives simultaneously. The 12 understanding is very much like the wind, and it's bringing us the seeds of new things and sowing those seeds as a way for us to gain more understanding. And then that brings us the opportunity for integration of the things that we've learned, because as we get to tomorrow, we get to the ending, right? We get to the completion part of this week and the evolution for this week. The consciousness that began with the one. And what did we begin this weekend? It was one. Hold that line for a second here. We began at one planting, right? It was one planting. And we're ending then at 13 intuiting. Tomorrow will be 13 intuiting. So today we're taking all of the steps that we've learned along the way, right? What did we plant with the one that is coming into fruition at the 13 and 12? Today is our day to integrate all of that. It's a little bit about self-renewal as well, through those many little deaths that we go through in any given day and any given week. And in any given week here, we've got this energy that is about the spiral of consciousness and not just the linear calendar, right? It's the spiraling calendar. And it's our recognition that from right here in this moment, only from right here in this moment, can we understand what's been going on, and also then in that understanding and integration, prepare for what comes next, right? What comes next? What's our unknown future like? We can't really be in that unknown future yet because it isn't here, but we can integrate everything we've learned so that we're prepared when that eventuality comes. Now, seeing energy is also about letting your dreams, your hopes, and your aspirations soar right along with those eagles that are soaring up there at the very heights, and expanding your consciousness so that you can share your newfound wisdom and your consciousness raised to other people, your family, your friends, however that you take that energy out into the world. Watch out for making hasty decisions on a day like today. Remember, we have the moon in Aries, and I was saying there's some congruence between that moon in Aries that's kind of impulsive at times and hasty and, you know, jumps out to take risks. Well, here, make sure that you're not taking rash actions in a reactive sort of way. Instead, respond, and if response takes you into new territory, so be it. But you have to be able to see the bigger picture first. And that's why this is the energy. You don't want to miss the details either. Think about how an eagle soaring as high as they soar in the sky. These are bald eagles, by the way, that we have here. And they're soaring in the sky. And then you see them start to come down because they've seen a fish or they've seen a duck or whatever they eat. And they see that from their high perspective. And they see that detail and they get to that. And they can also, from their heights, see the bigger perspective. And this is also visionary energy. It's also psychic energy, right? That we're tapped into that unseen field. Remember those morphogenetic fields that we've been talking about because of the placement of the sun now at gate 19. We're more sensitive to that incoming information. So this helps us to visualize it. This helps us to prepare for a future. And it helps us to be able to use that energy to see both the big picture and the details. So that is our Pleiadian Earth energy for the day. So that is it for me today. I'm going to take one last look here. Maurice Fernandez wrote a really fascinating book about the 12th house, Expanding in the Neptunian Realm. I might have to go looking for that one, Rebecca. Thank you for sharing that with me. I'm not sure who Maurice Fernandez is. I've not heard of him, but I may have read his work and I didn't even realize it. Allison, have a wonderful day, everybody. You're most welcome, Allison. She says, I keep her thinking and learning, and she really appreciates that. I live for that. And because it makes me have to grow as well. Gail, wonderful energy information. You're welcome, sweetie. And everybody, take care. Have a wonderful day. Reach out if you need me for any answers. At janet@living-astrology.com. The best way to know the best about you is to get a reading. So you have that opportunity as well. You can go to my website, living-astrology.com. All right, take care. Oh, I forgot. Today, if you are in, wherever you are, today at 3 p.m. Pacific time, I will be on Angel Heart Radio she's in Melbourne, Australia. So I think it's 9 a.m. her time. It'll be 3 p.m. on the West Coast, 6 p.m. on the East Coast, and 3 p.m. That's going to be a sort of late evening for you all in Europe. But I will be on Angel Heart Radio with Annette McCoy. I will, after we get done here this morning, post that link for you, and you can tap in. We're going to be talking about some of the outer planets and the expansion of energies through human design. So we've talked a little bit about that here in the morning, but I'm going to go a little bit more into it today. All right. See you guys this afternoon, or if not, have a great day. See you in the morning for tomorrow's Thursday. Wow. All right. Take care.